Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. Before I start, I want to read to you Matthew 15, verse 14. Here's what Jesus said about the religious leaders of his day. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus constantly taught by analogy. The parables are analogies, comparing maybe a physical thing that people understood and making a spiritual point about that. This is analogy. Suppose two men walking through a pasture come up on a ditch and both of them are blind. What's likely to happen? Well, they're likely to fall in the ditch. You need one of them to be able to see so he can say, let's cross the bridge or let's go around the ditch. Else they'll both fall in. Here's the spiritual point. The blind leader represents the false religious teacher. The blind follower represents us if we allow that false teacher to lead us astray. What does the ditch represent? The ditch represents the bad place, being lost. Now, there seem like a lot of people have this attitude. Look, I'm supposed to follow my pastor. If he teaches something wrong, he'll be held accountable, but not me because I'm supposed to follow him. Jesus is debunking that myth right here. If you allow a false teacher to lead you astray, you're going to end up being lost just like he is. You're going to fall into the ditch just like he is. So it's so important that we read and study the Bible for ourselves to make sure we are understanding and obeying the truth and not following a false teacher. Because if we follow that false teacher, we're going to be lost for that just like he is. John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Talking about being made free from sin. Only following, practicing the truth will make us free from sin, not false teaching. Last week, we were talking about once saved, always saved. One more verse I wanted to mention before we move on to something else is Hebrews 10:29. It says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, we know this is talking about Christians because it says they were sanctified by the blood. But now this person sanctified by the blood is counting that blood wherewith he was sanctified, he's been sanctified, an unholy thing. And it says he's trodding underfoot the Son of God. In our vernacular, we say, well, he became a Christian, but now he's spitting in the face of Jesus. Became a Christian, he was sanctified by the blood. Now he's thinking of that blood and holy thing. He's trotting underfoot the Son of God. A Christian, he's fallen away. He's not respecting Christ anymore. What's going to happen to him? Well, verse 26 and 27 tells us. It says, for if we sin willfully, talking to Christians here, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So that person who has been sanctified by the blood, verse 29, but now is trotting underfoot the Son of God, counting that blood which he was sanctified by an unholy thing, he's going to receive judgment and fiery indignation. He's going to be lost. Another verse that clearly teaches once saved, always saved is false. There's no way to get around it. You either believe what God says about it, or you want to choose the other side, that a Christian can't fall from grace. That's just wishful thinking. No verses that teach that. If you have a Bible question or comment, I want you to give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our first call, I would like to develop or answer this question. Is belief in Christ absolutely necessary to being saved? You think, of course, Pat, any religious person knows that you have to believe in Christ to be saved. It might surprise you to know that probably most preachers don't really believe that. Now, in their sermons, they might say that, but they don't really believe that. Let's look at this question for a little bit. John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible, reads this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this seems pretty clear. If you want, God sent his Son to die on the cross for everybody. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It seems pretty clear. You have to believe in Christ to be saved. That's the way almost all understand this. For example, an atheist won't be saved because he doesn't believe in Christ. But a lot of preachers want to hedge. Because some will ask, but what about someone maybe like someone in a third world country who has never heard the gospel, do they have to believe in Christ to be saved? Now, the answer is not that those people don't have to believe. That's not the answer to the dilemma. If God requires some to believe, but others are not so required, then God would be showing favoritism. He's not going to show favoritism. He's no respecter of persons, Acts 10, 34 and 35. The answer to that little dilemma is that God has guaranteed that those who truly seek or look for God will find him. Matthew 7, 7 reads this way. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. So God guarantees that if you will seek him, you will find. You won't be lost in your sins. You won't be saved in your sins. You won't be saved without believing in Christ. But if you're a true seeker, you'll find Christ. 2 Chronicles 5 verse 2 says, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So there's two little facts right there. Guaranteeing again, if you seek God, you'll find him. And another little fact that we were talking about, once saved, always saved, a while ago. If you forsake God, he will forsake you. The once saved, always saved position is, no, he won't forsake you, even if you do forsake him, but this shows otherwise. So nobody's going to be saved in their unbelief. Instead, if they are sincere, they'll be given an opportunity to learn about Christ and either accept Christ or reject Christ and his way. Now, some will ask about the Jews and other religions. Even though they don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God, since they're faithful to their religion, won't they be saved? That's the question. Now, if you have a Bible question or comment, I don't want to go on in a monologue here. Call us in and ask your Bible question or comment. 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Billy Graham, one of the most famous preacher of my lifetime, is famous for teaching in crusade after crusade that people need to come forward and accept Christ in order to be saved. I mean, you've seen him on TV. I've seen him a number of times on TV. You must have seen him on TV. At the end of every sermon, he says, come forward and accept Christ. You have to believe in Christ to be saved. That's what he says over and over again. We'll talk more about what he said when he got put into a pickle in just a minute. Phyllis from Virginia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I called you before last year about leprosy. I was saying marriage is still, my husband has leprosy in 16 personalities. I have leprosy in 5 different personalities. We heal, we walk in our healing, and it's found in the Holy Bible, Second Chronicle, the Old Testament.
What's your question?
17.
Go real quick. What's your question?
Oh, my question is,
thank you for your call, Phyllis. So here's Billy Graham. Remember, we've seen him over and over again teach that you got to believe in Christ to be saved. But in an interview with Robert Schuller in 1997, here's what Mr. Graham said. He said this, and I quote, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they have been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved and they're going to be with us in heaven. What's Mr. Graham saying there? You're a Muslim or you're a Buddhist? People that are non-believers, they're going to be saved because they're faithful to their religion. Here's what he said in 1978 in McCall's magazine. Quoting from Billy Graham, I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost, were going to hell if they did not have the gospel of Christ preached to them. I no longer believe that. I believe that there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God through nature, for instance, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore, of saying yes to God. See that? The most famous, quote, Christian preacher, as many people use the word Christian, the most famous preacher of my lifetime said you don't really have to believe in Jesus to be saved. That Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and peoples in those religions will be saved if they're faithful to that religion. We saw him on TV say you did have to believe to be saved in Christ, and now he's saying you don't have to believe. And a lot of preachers are like that. In their sermons, they'll say you have to believe in Christ to be saved. Because that's what John 3:16 says. But when they're put on the spot, political pressure comes into play. Does that mean you're saying, Mr. Graham, that Jews and Muslims and Buddhists, good Jews and Muslims and Buddhists, won't be saved? Is that what you're saying? Because they don't believe in Christ. Oh, no, Mr. Graham said. They'll be saved. You don't have to believe in Christ to be saved. You got put on the spot. He told you what he really believed. That's the way most preachers are in the United States and most other, every other country. But God clearly says this. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. God clearly says this in John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you say, whether you're the most famous preacher of my lifetime in the United States, Billy Graham, even if he says it, Jesus says, nobody comes to the Father but by me. Billy Graham and many other preachers contradict that. They say you can be saved without believing in Christ. And he's a famous Baptist preacher. John 8:24, here's another quote. I said therefore unto you, this is Jesus speaking, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So what did Jesus say about Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and other people who never came to believe in Christ? What did he say in those two verses? He said, no, they can't be saved. You absolutely cannot be saved unless you believe in Christ. It doesn't matter how faithful you are in the Jewish religion, Buddhist religion, Muslim religion, or any other religion. Those two passages in John 3:16 and dozens of others like them say you have to believe in Jesus to be saved. People who don't believe in Jesus are not going to be saved. That's clear. Yet most preachers compromise on that and say, oh no, if you're faithful to your religion, you don't have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Jesus said again, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins, John 8:24. He says again in John 14:16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, since God requires belief in Christ to be saved, and no exceptions are made because of ignorance, the same is also true about repentance and baptism. The same would be true about repentance and baptism. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus made it clear, if you don't repent of your sins, you're going to perish spiritually. There's no exception to that. When a person becomes a Christian, he's got to repent of his sins to be forgiven. After a person is already a Christian, hopefully he sins a lot less after he becomes a Christian than before, but nobody lives perfectly. How can he be forgiven for those sins? He has to repent, according to Luke 13:3. Nobody's going to be forgiven without repentance. Ignorance does not change that. Just like ignorance does not change the fact that you have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755. So repentance is absolutely required. Repentance of sins. Those who believe in Christ but are not following what he says will not be saved. They've not repented. This will include, for example, the gay church. Have they repented of their homosexuality? No. The Catholic Church, Calvinistic churches. Patrick, go ahead with your Bible question or comment from Texas.
Sure. I'm just curious. Even after you're a Christian and you're walking the life, and we all sin as Christians. I mean, don't we?
Yes, that's what I just got through saying.
Exactly.
Hopefully you sin a lot less after you become a Christian than before.
Exactly. I don't believe in the catechism. I don't believe in religion. I believe in a relationship with Christ. Okay? That is the only bond that you're going to get.
Patrick, what's your question? Real quick, give me your question here.
My question is, you're stating Hebrews so much. Hebrews is really, really hard for any Christian. When it comes down to it.
And so Patrick just mentioned John 15:14. I mean, I'm going to mention John 15:14 in response to something Patrick said. Patrick says you got to have a relationship with Jesus. You do have to have a relationship with Jesus. Let's learn about that from John 15, 14. He says, Jesus says here, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So relationship with Jesus, if he's not on here on earth, so you're not going to get to pal around with him every day. The way you have a relationship with Jesus, this verse says, and it's Jesus saying it. He says, you are my friends, meaning you have a relationship with me if you do whatsoever I command you. If you're not doing what Jesus says, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. As I was saying, repentance is absolutely required. Any denomination that is not following the truth has not repented. John 8, 32, I'm repeating, says, you shall know the truth shall make you free. Talking about being made free from sin. Julian from Texas, go ahead with the Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, this is Juan from Texas, South Texas. Yes, sir. My comment was this, that you quoted the scripture, John, I believe, about having to repent.
Right.
And I believe that. Repent, of course, the Greek means that the change of mind. And I'm very strong when I take this position, whenever I'm doing a Bible class or whatever, that what saves us is changing our mind about who Jesus is. The fact that he wasn't just a rabbi. He was actually the Son of God who died for all our sins, past, present, and future, was buried, and he rose again. That's what saves us. Repenting about our sins cannot be a qualification for salvation, because then we're mixing in works. It'd be a condition to be saved.
So
repenting about
really,
our sins
the thing that saves us is not changing our mind about Jesus. The thing that saves us is the death of Christ, the blood of Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Exactly.
Changing your mind about Jesus is not saving you. That's a condition you have to meet in order to be saved by the death of Christ. Okay?
You believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus.
Okay.
You rely
upon him. So let me read to you Acts 8.
Uh-huh.
Let me read to you Acts 8, verse 22. Here's Acts 8, 22. Here's a Christian that has sinned. Peter said to him in Acts 8, 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So the forgiveness is going to be based upon the death of Christ, the blood of Christ. That was saves us. But the condition you have to meet to be forgiven based upon the death of Christ is repent therefore of this thy wickedness. So you don't just change your mind in regard to Christ. You do have to do that, but you have to repent of sin. If you sin and you want to be forgiven, you're going to have to repent of that sin. Like say you're guilty of adultery. Say you divorce your wife for any other reason other than fornication and remarry. Well, you're in adultery. You're committing the sin of adultery, according to Matthew 19:9. How are you going to be forgiven of that? This says you have to repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. You have to repent of that sin in order to be forgiven of that sin, meaning you have to terminate that adulterous marriage. Now, here's another verse written to Christians. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you want to be forgiven of your sins based upon the death of Christ, which is what saves you, you're going to have to meet the conditions. You're going to have to repent, Acts 8, 22. You're going to have to confess your sins. You don't just say, I'm changing my mind about Christ. You do have to do that, but you have to repent of your sin and confess your sins according to these two verses in order to be forgiven of your sins. That's the bottom line. These are not the things that save you. They're just the conditions you have to meet in order to be forgiven based upon the death of Christ. It's the death of Christ, the blood of Christ, washes away your sins when you meet the conditions. For a Christian, that would be repentance and confession. You have any follow-up, Juan?
Yeah. Well, I just real strong with John 3:16. Whoever believes has eternal life. And the believing is what saves you.
No, belief does not save you. The death of Christ saves us. Belief does not save anybody. That's just a condition you must meet in order to be saved by the death of Christ. Belief doesn't save you. And Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So it takes more than belief. If you want to be saved by the death of Christ, you got to believe and be baptized. If you don't obey, you're not going to be saved. James 2:24 says, you see then how that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So if you want to be justified, remember, it's the death of Christ that saves you. Your belief doesn't save you. Neither does your works. But those are conditions you have to meet in order to be saved by the death of Christ. So we're talking about repentance. In Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. By the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Now, notice in Acts 2:38, remember, it's the death of Christ that saves us. We're forgiven based upon the blood, shed blood of Christ. Conditions are, according to Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So just believing is not going to be enough. According to the inspired record, you have to repent and be baptized to get the remission of sins. The remission of sins is based upon the death, the shed blood of Christ. But you only get that. Atheists are not going to get it because they don't believe. Believers who don't obey, who don't repent, who are not baptized, won't get it either. Because you've got to, believers, we're told in Acts 2:38, to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You see that? So Billy Graham was wrong when he said, you don't have to believe in Christ to be saved. John 3:16, John 8:24. Many other passages, John 14:6, say you have to believe to be saved. But that's not all you have to do. Peter's saying here, inspired of God, these believers were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So this verse makes both repentance and baptism absolutely essential to salvation. Salvation based upon the death of Christ. There are no exceptions for those who are never baptized, even for believers, for those who are sprinkled but not actually immersed, or for those who are only baptized when they were babies. There are no exceptions. You have to be immersed as a believer, and not only that, you have to repent and be baptized as a believer in order to receive the remission of sins. That's according to God's word, Acts 2:38. Not human logic. I know a lot of humans out there. I mean, Billy Graham says you don't have to believe in Christ to be saved. The most famous verse in the Bible says that you do. A lot of people say belief's all you have to do because that's just their human reasoning. James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Most churches teach salvation by faith only, but James 2:24 teaches just the opposite. Mark 16:16 teaches just the opposite. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saul of Tarsus, who later became known as Paul the Apostle, he believed in Christ on the road to Damascus. But about 3 days later, Ananias told him, 3 days or at least 3 days after he was baptized, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So everybody's saying, well, all you got to do to be saved is believe. Well, why wouldn't Saul save when he believed on the road to Damascus? He wasn't. At least 3 days later, he was still in his sins. He was told to be baptized to wash away his sins. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism also now save us. Now, baptism is going to save us in the sense that you got to be baptized to be saved. We'll try to take this call real quick. Rick, almost time to go off the air. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment. Rick from Nevada, go ahead.
Well, I don't see how baptism saves you. I think you got to believe in Jesus and ask forgiveness of your sins and ask him to come into your life.
Rick, what do you think about that verse in 1 Peter 3:21 where God said, baptism doth also now save you? What does that mean when the Bible says baptism saves?
But that contradicts where he says by your works are as rags. And I think he was talking to the times in context of when people were getting baptized.
There's no contradiction. He never says
let me ask you this.
To be saved. He said in James 2:24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So the fact that you have to be baptized goes along with every other verse in the Bible. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay.
Make it quick.
All right. What about the thief on the cross?
So he wasn't baptized. The thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized because he lived under the Old Testament law, just like Adam and Eve and Moses and Noah, Abraham. None of those folks had to be baptized. The Old Testament law doesn't mention baptism. Baptism wasn't required until the Great Commission, which came along after the thief was already dead. We're going to have to go off the air. I want to close with this thought. We have to believe and obey the truth in order to be saved. Billy Graham says, don't even have to believe. A lot of preachers say, all you got to do is believe. But we have to believe and obey the truth in order to be saved. Here's 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So to be purified from your sins, you're going to have to obey. Not only that, you're going to have to obey the truth. Obeying false doctrine won't cut it. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth, you have to obey the truth, be purified from your sins. If you would like a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-6700. 9753. Free Bible study, 256-682-9753.